Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome you to the man's voice. You're listening to Dave Schroeder speaking right now. I don't know how they ever say that, but somebody asked me to say it, so I will. And panelists, they are ready to go. And we are going to talk about things that we sure you would like to hear. But we also would like to hear from you. So if you would like to call in and give us your opinion on any subject, either what we're talking about or things you want us to talk about, dial us at 646-668-8740. All right, let's get this going. Hello, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing just ducky there, David.
Well, that's good to know. You know, throughout this month of July, scorching temperatures have broken records on several continents, the latest in a trend caused by, of course, climate crisis that we're having. Meanwhile, in the United States, extreme rainfall has led to devastating floods and toxic wildfire smoke has drifted down from Canada, prompting unhealthy air alerts in multiple cities. This is really causing a lot of problems. And we talked about climate control, and a lot of people don't believe in it. But I think, isn't this this something that's going to make everyone understand and try to figure out with a way to battle it? I mean, it's crazy. What do you think about that, Bruce?
Well, David, I think we could probably all pretty much agree that we should do things that are responsible and help with the climate in a positive way. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that. The thing that I keep worrying about is if we're going to be a leader in climate control or climate enhancement, that's a better word. I like that better. We've got to lead the rest of the globe. For us to do all kinds of things, by example, I don't have a problem with that, and then just let everybody else do whatever they want, and you know who I'm talking about, one of the main culprits, that's wrong. I mean, us doing everything on Earth to make the climate better that we know of in the long run by itself will not do anything. We are a small part of the whole national climate and globe. And our example is a good one, but then we should take those examples and say, you and you and you and you and you, you have to do it as well. Otherwise, we're not going to make any significant difference. And we don't seem to be leading that. If it's that important to us now, and I'm not saying it is or isn't, I'm just asking that as a question, we need to lead by example and then make the others do it as well. Otherwise, we're not going to end up with anything that's significant in the way of positive change.
Right. I'd like to welcome all the panelists, but I'd like to go into Sowell. I know that you are in Nevada, Las Vegas, and I know the temperature there is always warm. What's going on in Las Vegas right about now?
Typically, it's about 120-ish degrees. It's typically around in that neighborhood. Wow. It is very, very hot, but that's just normal for how things are here. I mean, the city of Las Vegas is literally a defiance of nature. I mean, we weren't supposed to be here, and we are.
Wow. All right. did you have any issues with the smoke that drifted down from Canada in Las Vegas?
No, I think that might affect people in Idaho and Washington more.
Okay. Darius, what are your thoughts on what should happen? Because it looks like we're having climate issues, and everyone is, you know, there several continents have really had temperatures, record-breaking temperatures during July. Do you think there's something that we as the United States can do to show the rest of the world something needs to be done about climate control?
Hello, David. Hello, guys, panel. Thanks for calling on me. I wanted to reiterate what Bruce said, that we should all be responsible in terms of protecting our environment and maintaining our, you know, being responsible in terms of our resources. In terms of what we should be doing, I think we're doing almost as much as we can do in terms of conservation. But when you speak about climate change, I don't think there's hardly anyone that disagrees that the climate is changing. What I totally disagree with is that it's being caused by man. And, you know, I have this discussion all the time. There's absolutely no, you know, you got scientific theories, but there's no evidence that anything going on is an anomaly. You know, the Earth has always been changing constantly, way before man got here, way before the Industrial Revolution, which they claim is causing this climate to change. You know, Sohail talked about Las Vegas, where he was, where he is. You know, over 8,000 years ago, you know, they said that Las Vegas was a lush, bustling environment at one point. Like much of the desert at one point was, you know, had water there and a lush environment. We have the Ice Age. We have so many, you know, cities in the deserts of Africa that they say were one time, again, you know, lush environments. So, guys, the climate has always been changing. The problem I have with is if we put all this emphasis on man-made climate change, then we get distracted on what we really need to do in order to adapt and adjust to the climate change. So by taking away fossil fuels, which is where the, most of the focus is on, then you cede that power over to other countries. Because these other countries, while we're stopping coal production, you have other countries that are increasing, building coal plants every day at a rapid pace. And these batteries that we need, they have to use fossil fuels to mine for these, for the ingredients or the materials to make these batteries and to make the solar panels. And where are we going to get them from? These other countries who we're making rich while we're making ourselves poorer. And if you have a climate crisis and it's getting warmer, the thing to do is not to decrease our ability to create energy, but increase our ability to create energy so that we're not dependent on other countries.
All right, Ron, what are your thoughts?
Thank you, David. Can everybody hear me? I'm using a different method today to call in.
Yes, we can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay, great. So I don't even know where to start. With all due respect to Bruce and Darius, I'd like to challenge a few of the things that I heard. I'll start with Bruce first. And Bruce, yes, nobody is going to disagree that the United States, as the strongest economy in the world, should be leading the charge when it comes to greener energies. Basically, the bottom line is, in my opinion, to save humankind. And by the way, I say my opinion, but 98 or 99% of the world's leading scientists believe, and you could look this up if you don't believe me, climate change, yes, you're right, Darius. Climate change has always existed. But since the time of the Industrial Revolution, which, by the way, started by the United States primarily, has accelerated at a pace that it hasn't for millions of years. You can go back and you can look this up again if you don't believe me. Yes, throughout millions of years, the climate has always been changing, but the rate that it is accelerating now has never, ever, ever in the history of the planet happened. So, yes, I think the United States needs to lead the charge. How that takes shape and form, let the powers that be in Washington and wherever else determine how that's going to happen. But I also want to say that the United States has been and continues to be, I believe, if I'm not mistaken to this point, the greatest emitter of greenhouse gases. I mean, you look at our homes and you look at our luxuries in this country, and it makes, for the most part, with some exceptions, the rest of the majority of the world is not even close to the kinds of CO2 emissions that we are emitting as Americans, even to this day. So that's what I think, is the direction we need to go in. I'm not saying, the radical left has all the solutions, but honestly, when you look at the far right or the Republicans, basically in general, they're the ones that have always been opposed to measures that will alleviate the circumstances that we face ourselves in right now. And I've said this before, I hate to sound like a doomsayer, but I honestly think, and I've heard other scientists say this too, that we are already kind of at a point of point of no return, so to speak. You look at the water temperatures off the coast of Florida, and guess what's happening? It's like a bath out there. The temperatures, and I know you've seen this in the news, the temperatures are above 90 degrees in the water. That's unheard of. That's never happened. It's killing all of our coral reefs. What happens when the coral reefs die? Catastrophic events happen because coral reefs act as barriers, number one, against major storms, hurricanes, which, by the way, are going to be bigger moving forward because of the sea temperature, the seawater temperatures rising and the air temperatures rising. That's one. And, the coral reefs also are homes, fisheries, they act as places where fish lay eggs and produce more fish. So everybody is going to be impacted. Fishermen, tourism, everybody is going to be impacted. And that's pretty much what you hear is the talk of the town down here in South Florida these days.
All right.
Ron.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Bruce.
May I just shortly, just a little bit. Ron, I don't think anybody's denying that we should try to do our part and to automatically assume that we know what the influences are. We don't. If we knew right away, we would have solved it already. So we're kind of muddling and puddling through what we should do to help the environment, and we learn along the way.
Well, the scientists
No, they don't necessarily know it all. I mean, just like modern day medicine, it's trial and error. We learn from the experiences and the things we do. They don't have any magic formulas. And hold on, and then I'll stop, and then you can address. And you didn't mention at all that China, the Republic of China, with what, 2 billion people or whatever, as one of the main focal points, and what they are or not doing. You didn't mention at all that we should be influencing them in a hard, fast way to do their part as well. We can't 100%. Do it alone.
100%. But guess what? Countries like India and China are looking at us and saying, well, they did it, and they're rich now because they did it, so we're going to do it. And honestly, I can't blame them.
Well, Ron, you can blame them for the increase in the climate problems. Then you can blame them for that.
We're all doomed, basically.
Hey,
no,
wanna,
we're not.
I want to correct something that Ron, Bruce. Let me correct something that Ron said.
You watch, Bruce. Okay. You watch the next 5 years.
Oh, wow. Can you hear me, Ron?
Go ahead.
Hello. Okay, you said that we were the number one emitter of CO2. That's wrong. It's China one, India
correct.
Number two. So that is totally wrong. And the backwards part
per population.
Once again, we've done more to cut emissions than any other industrialized nation in the world. So let me say that first and foremost.
True.
Number, it is the truth. Look it up. It is the truth.
America's
leading the world.
Look at Western Europe. Look at what the countries in Western Europe are doing.
Ron,
we pale in comparison.
Ron, you want to talk about what they're doing in terms of laws and stuff. I'm talking about actual measures of benefits of cutting CO2 emissions. We have cut ours more than those other countries in Europe may not have ever produced as much as we have. But we've cut our emissions more than any other country in the world. But this is the backwards part of the environmentalist theory. You guys say you want to use more energy that's non-fossil fuel energy, but yet
nuclear is the answer.
Okay. They don't want to do that. They don't want to. The environmentalists don't want to build nuclear plants, Ron. So how are you going to power?
I don't agree
with
that.
How are you going to power all? Okay, so you want to keep cutting me off? It's fine. Why isn't America building any nuclear plants right now? Then, if the environmentalists are not against that, they're not building them because they can't.
We're building. Actually, we are. What's his name? Bill Gates is building a huge nuclear plant in Wyoming right now.
I know we're building one in Georgia. That's the only. I'm just saying, we could be building a lot more. But China is building these coal power plants at a rate that's unimaginable, and we're going to get our energy from them. And then to mine for the ingredients, the materials for these batteries, where do you think that's going to come from? Where do you think that energy is going to come from? It's just ludicrous to put ourselves. We're going to put ourselves backwards by trying to say that man is creating the environment change, which is crazy because the environment, like you admitted yourself, has always been changing. So I don't understand where this argument is coming from.
Do me a favor and look up the graphs that go back millions of years, and you'll see. You'll see the incline in the y-axis since the Industrial Revolution. It's never, ever happened in the history of the planet.
It doesn't matter the rate. The matter is it's happened. It's not an anomaly is what I'm trying to tell
no,
you.
No.
It's been cold. It's been
never
colder.
As
and
high
it's been,
as it is now.
That's not true. It's been colder than it's been now, and it's been hotter than it is now. Both have happened in the Earth, in the entire existence of the Earth. God created Earth. God created Earth. And what happens in terms of our planet, we have very, very little impact on. The Earth is 80% water and less than 5% inhabitable land, and less than that is industrialized. You cannot tell me that less than 5% of the Earth mass creates the change of the entire climate. That's crazy to me. That's
I don't know where you're getting your data, because I heard and I read that less than 30% of the Earth's land surfaces are left intact without being developed or touched by mankind.
Industrialized, Ron. Industrialized. That's not true. 80% of the Earth is water. Then you got to account for the parts that aren't habitable. Then you have to account for the part that have modern industrialization.
All you have to do is look at Madagascar or Sumatra, for example, and one island, okay, Sumatra, that used to be all rainforest, primary rainforest. Guess what's happening there? And that's home to tigers and orangutans and all kinds of species that are going to disappear because the forests are being bulldozed to do what? Does anybody know?
Right.
To plant palm so that we have palm oil for us consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ron, we're clearing rainforests for a number of reasons, any of which are bad reasons if you want to maintain the rainforest. And a couple quick things. You're right about the fact my brother lives just off the Gulf of Mexico, and he said the water's between 85 and 90 degrees, and you're right. That's It's
above 90, actually.
If it's not a historic high, it's a high right now. But as Darius said, things run in cycles. Maybe the cycle's higher right now, and that's not a good thing. But do you think for 1 minute if we were the major problem on the globe causing all these problems that we wouldn't have solved that already? In a sense, it would be good if
we were the
main contributor, but we're not. We're one of many. We're one of many.
You know why? Yes, I agree we're one of many, but you know why we haven't solved it, Bruce? It's called the dollar sign, greed, and not just the dollar, but around the world. People are only interested in making making money, okay? And whatever makes money, that's what they're going to do. Why do you think
Ron, if we don't have petroleum and we go, as Darius and you and I, we've all said, and we go after the elements to mine these batteries, and let's say for the moment, let's blink an eye and say now everybody's in electric cars. You don't think that's going to be pirate as the big money maker and the source of income? Of course it will be. That doesn't solve the problem either, switching from one source or another. As you and Darius said earlier,
the real answer
that we know about right now is nuclear power. But this country, we started into it. We got into the shallow end, but we never went into the deep end. It's one of the cleanest, most efficient. It could power the electrical networks that we can't power. We build all these electrical cars and charging
stations.
We got
Turkey Point nuclear power.
How are we
going to
put the electricity in it?
We got Turkey Point nuclear power plant less than 30 miles from me, actually. And that's been around for decades, and not once has there been an accident. So I am very confident that nuclear power is safe.
I don't disagree with that, but check probably between the last 30 years and now how many plants we had built active and how many have been shut down and how many we have now. It's minuscule compared. We have gone backwards in nuclear power. I agree with you. That could be the answer, but why aren't we pursuing it then? Why aren't we pursuing it?
Because there's a lot of money to be made in fossil fuels. That's simple.
Oh, man.
All right, gentlemen.
And you don't think – okay, I'll stop.
Wait, I think we've talked about this enough for
– okay.
We're going to move on. And I was hoping that Don would be in, but unfortunately he's something up and he cannot be here. So you're going to be stuck, Ron. And then Jeremiah was in, but he had to go. But I want to change the subject a little bit because something happened that I thought was very strange because DeSantis made a speech after the Florida Board of Education made a comment. For some reason now, Florida are going to start teaching middle school students. They'll be taught that slavery gave black people a personal benefit because they developed skills. After the Florida Board of Education approved new standards for African-American history on Wednesday, high school students will be taught an equally distorted message that a deadly white mob attack against black residents of Okie, Florida in 1920 included acts of violence perpetrated against African Americans. Dozens of residents were killed in the massacre, which was perpetrated just to stop them voting. So now, according to DeSantis, the school board will start changing the message that slavery was positive for all African Americans because it gave them talent. It gave them things to do. Wow. What are your thoughts on that, Darius?
I have to say, David, that's a shocker to me. I haven't heard that. So I really would rather do some research on that before I comment. But I would be, I would not feel at all wrong by saying probably some disinformation or some misinformation in that. Because these are the same people who said that Ron DeSantis didn't want black kids to learn about African-American history, and he was taking it out of schools and banning them from being taught black history. And it's the same media who said that Ron DeSantis created a bill that said don't say gay. It's the same media that said that Ron DeSantis was banning books from children because he didn't want them to be educated about homosexuality. So, so far, everything that they've said has been wrong, so I'll be a little reluctant to believe that. However, I won't dispute it because I haven't read it, and I readily admit that I don't have any knowledge on that subject at all. But I definitely will research it, and I would be willing to mortgage the farm that that's been skewed, and that's probably some misinformation.
Well, it was Governor Ron DeSantis who made the speech about the changes and how he's supporting the school board on these changes. At least that's what it's in the news. But according to members of the board, Marilyn Mager is a member of the board. She was appointed by Governor Ron DeSantis at the board's meeting in Orlando on Wednesday that everything is there in the new history standards and the darkest parts of our history are going to be addressed as how special they were in teaching everyone how to do their jobs. That's a little strange. So, Ron, you're down there. What's going on down there? Uh-oh, Ron doesn't want to talk. So, what are your thoughts?
I'm not sure about the accuracy of that, and I can't really give an answer because it's the first time I've really heard of it, and I'm pretty sure a lot of it is distorted, and it's not what was said or something that is being taken out of context.
All right, Mr. Solutions, welcome back. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, thanks, David. Hi. Look, I, as with many things, that's probably one facet of it. There's probably some credibility to that, but there's probably a lot of other information to go along with that. That's what I would say at this particular juncture. That it's a good topic, I think, to discuss and hash out. And I think this is an era of attempted transparency. But I would relish an opportunity. I don't know how much time you have or how much time you're going to give to it, but I think that would take some time. And I think a lot of information could be fleshed out.
Okay. Darius, what are your thoughts on
your idea?
Oh, yeah. You asked me. Remember I told you I'd be willing to bet that it's been distorted. You know, they've lied on him from day one. Everything that they said he was trying to get past was a lie, you know. So I'd have to see some more of that. That's all.
All right.
What's that?
What are your thoughts on that subject?
Oh, thanks for calling me. I thought you were going to skip me. I did hear a little about it, and as two or three of the other callers, panelists said, some things have been taken out of context. The sense I got digging a little deeper, because I just heard it a couple of days ago, is if you don't cherry-pick sentences out of the statements and his speech, what he was attempting to say, maybe he didn't do it very well because I didn't hear the speech, is that during slavery, people that were enslaved learned some marketable, useful, important skills. That doesn't make slavery a good thing. It makes the fact that during that heinous act of being a slave, there were some positive things that came out of it that prepared people once they were out of slavery, they had some skills. Now, that's a positive statement, but the left, far left, not the regular good left, but the far left, is so paranoid, they will not even admit or say, oh, you can't say that. That makes slavery look good. No, it doesn't. Slavery was terrible. Enslaving people like property and cattle instead of human beings, there's nothing good about that. But the fact that they might have learned skills, that's a positive. And I think what DeSantis was trying to say in his way is you need to learn all of what went on in the slavery period, the good, the bad, and the ugly, so people honestly get a full picture of what slavery was in this country. And you've heard Darius and I've heard others say many times, and many other people, there were a lot of other people that owned slaves that were not white. Now, that still does not make slavery good, but it's part of the whole picture of what slavery was in this country. And if we don't stop manipulating the definition of what went on in this country, we're never going to get to a real answer. It's just going to be this back and forth badminton match or tennis match that does no one any good.
All right. So you're under the impression that they should be teaching it in elementary school, junior high, and high school.
Well, if you're going to talk about slavery, and I think most of us say, you know, that's part of our history, not a good part, but it's part of it, then talk about all of what made the definition of slavery in this country. Not everything that looked bad, not a few things that might have give it a positive turn in some ways, and we all agree slavery was not positive at all, but there were aspects. You've got to tell the whole story. Otherwise, you're manipulating the definition in this country of what slavery was, and that's not history. That's part of history. That's inaccurate history. And aren't we getting tired of getting inaccurate history, maybe from both sides?
All right, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts?
I wasn't in on the initial asking of the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, let's move on. We need to, only got a little time left. Let's go around the table a little bit. Darius, was there something you wanted to bring to the panel this week?
Absolutely, David. I am shocked. I don't want to display feigned outrage. I'm actually not shocked. I want to be shocked. I want to be surprised at the American media ignoring the whistleblowers that came forward last week and that ignored the FBI documents that showed that Joe Biden solicited money from foreign sources. They have him on tape, from what I understand. They have the transcripts. They have Hunter Biden saying, I'm sitting here with my father. They have the WhatsApp messages, text messages, with him admitting that he's doing it. You have the SARS reports, the suspicious activity reports, showing that the money came into the Biden's account. And then you have Joe Biden on camera admitting that he went over there and got a Ukrainian official fired. So you have corroborating evidence. You have eyewitnesses. You have tapes. I'm trying to figure out, and this is really me wanting to hear from the opposite side, what other evidence do you need to have this man investigated and impeached? What else needs to be said or done? What else do you liberals need to see in order to even talk about it? They're not even talking about this story. And if you only watch MSNBC and CNN, you don't even know that this exists.
All right. Mr. Solutions, what are your thoughts?
Well, thanks, David. I would just say I'm kind of marinating on this subject with transgender women competing against biological women. And I would like to just throw my hat in the ring and say I don't support everything that the transgender movement is doing, but I'm okay with them competing with biological women. And I think it's kind of opposes the tyranny of biological women in America. I think too much power has been seized under the rubric of gender, and I think this kind of opens the field up for discussion. And I think under the rubric of personhood, that is the basis upon which the courts are granting transgender women the right to compete with biological women. So
David,
that's
I don't
just
think
one
Mr.
issue. There are a lot of other issues. I'm very concerned about the economic state of America. Two-thirds of Americans are financially fragile. I'm very concerned about that. I'm concerned about inflation just running rampant in terms of food inflation, energy inflation, and so on and so forth. And Americans haven't gotten a real wage increase in over 50 years. So those are just a few things.
Did you hear my question, Mr. Solutions? I don't think you heard my question.
I did not.
Okay, that figures. All right. I'm sorry, David. I was just wondering why we glossed over that topic that I just brought up.
Yeah.
What was the question? Maybe you were on mute.
No.
I'd like to go back to that topic.
Go ahead. Can you do a brief overlay for Mr. Solutions, Darius?
Yeah. There were two more than two. There were hearings this week in the Congress and Senate of whistleblowers that came forward that said that the DOJ was blocking the FBI and the IRS from pursuing Hunter Biden. They were also holding information that showed that Joe Biden solicited, along with his son Hunter Biden, solicited foreign countries and governments to influence policy. They have tapes. They also have eyewitnesses. They also have Joe Biden on camera himself admitting that he forced Ukraine to prosecute to fire the prosecutor over there that was investigating the company that was paying Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And so you have all of this corroborating evidence, including, like I said, what came out of Joe Biden's mouth himself, and yet the FBI has failed to move forward with it, the Department of Justice is blocking it, and the media is failing to report on it. So my question was, what else do you think they need to see in order to move forward with at least investigating, if nothing else, short of impeachment?
Oh, yeah, I think I'm sorry, had you finished?
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, I had heard bits and pieces of that, and I think you're absolutely right. Our alphabet agencies have been weaponized, and I just think sometimes the Republicans are just terrible at pursuing issues like this. It seems like they are now, but, yeah, that should be investigated to the hilt, including those shell corporations that were set up. I mean, I think the government is intrusive, but I think this is a legitimate area of inquiry, and I think the media, along with the alphabet agencies, are derelict in their duty. Absolutely.
All right.
Can I jump in on that as well?
Please. Go ahead.
Kind of wrapping into what both these gentlemen, Darius and Mr. Solutions, is the Republicans have been weak in their fighting. You've even heard Republicans say that. They don't seem to know how to fight back with all the ammunition they have and all the proof they have, as Darius just laid out. They're starting to do some things now, so maybe the backbone is growing. But they have traditionally, over the last couple of decades, been terrible at going after what they felt was wrong with what the far left has said. And they know that the far left, I always stress far left, not left, knows that whatever they say, the modern major press is just going to run with it. And those that only watch those channels will say, well, that's the truth. And so they can just float the balloon out there, and that's all they hear. On the other side of the coin, the far left Democrats, knowing that that's the case, they don't have to prove anything. All they have to do is put the innuendo out there, and the modern day press will carry the water for him. So the only way we're going to, I think, really get deeper into solving this problem is the right, the regular normal right and the regular normal left that probably have a lot more in common than you ever hear about, because the standard press only fans the fire for the far left, probably have a lot more in common than we realize. And until those two groups get together, we're gonna keep going back and forth like this.
All right, gentlemen. I want to move on, getting almost to the end of the show, so I want to move on a little bit. Jeremiah, was there something you wanted to bring to the table?
Not exactly. Nothing on the top of my mind.
Okay. Well, what about you, Sobel? Is something you would like to bring to the table for the gentleman to talk about?
Well, just a real quick thing. So I'm not sure if people have heard, but U.S. Bank has just bought Union Bank. So they have acquired another bank. And some people are feeling quite uncomfortable with how so many banks are very big. I mean, the Zion Banking Corporation is owned 57% by the LDS Church. So I'm wondering, with people, do you feel uncomfortable that places like Chase and Bank of America and other places are as big as they are? Or if you do happen to bank with one of these big banks, do you feel comfortable with how things are and you wouldn't change much of anything?
You want to take that on, Darius?
Yeah, absolutely. I did hear about that, Sohail, and my only fear with that is these big banks cooperating with government agencies. I think Mr. Solutions called them the alphabet agencies. And what I saw, what Bank of America did doing January 6th was very concerning. As a matter of fact, one of the whistleblowers talked about that. It's funny you brought it up, with the FBI and how they cooperated with Bank of America to look at the bank statements of people who were in and around D.C. And also look at their buying habits to see that, I mean, in and around D.C. on January 6th, also people who were affiliated with the Trump campaign to see if they were, you know, if they made gun purchases, also to prohibit them from making gun purchases, or if they were members of the NRA. So I'm more concerned from that respect, Sohail, in terms of, because it makes it easier when you have only a selective few big banks, it's easier for the feds to go in and weaponize that information against its citizens. So that's what I'm more concerned about. And then, you know, also there's ESG, which that's a whole other topic. We'll get into that another time, I'm sure. But, yeah, I'm glad you noticed that, and that is concerning to me.
All right. Anyone have any other comments on that subject? All right. Well, let's move
forward. Yeah, I just have a brief concern.
Go ahead.
I would just like to know, I mean, I hear all these reports and read this information about how the economy is going. And I don't know if anyone cares to, but I'll just lead off by saying I'm concerned about inflation. I'm a successful investor, and so I've had to look for other revenue streams as a result of inflation. Now, I've found those streams, but it is greatly concerning to me, all this money printing, therefore devaluing the purchasing power of the existing currency is, you know, it's problematic. And as I said, something like two-thirds of people are living, of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So it's having a real impact. And I'm just wondering if anyone else is seeing that at the grocery store, at the gas pump, insurance premiums, et cetera, et cetera.
Seeing what exactly?
Cost increase that put one in a financially precarious position, not being able to pay the bills because of the rapid inflation.
Well, I can tell you from the Midwest part of the country, which is having, knock on wood, unbelievably beautiful weather. We're not in the broiler. I don't envy those that are in it. But on your comment about prices are still too high. And of course, the comment is, well, prices are coming down, but they're coming down from a very high perch. But up here, a number of things are starting to creep down a little bit here and there. I saw eggs were down, milk was down, cereal was down. Some of the staples in the stores that I visit, which are several, they're creeping down, but they're still, you know, a lot higher than they were when we started with these huge increases.
All right. Mr. Solutions, you had some other comments about things you wanted to bring to the table. Why don't you go ahead and reiterate what you were talking about earlier?
Well, you mean with the transgender women?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid situation. I think a lot of men, you know, I kind of take a sampling of the type people that I'm speaking to, and I would just say, look, I hope if many of you men are married, I hope you have a happy marriage, but I would just say to you that based on our current system and divorce laws, you're living at the graces or at the mercy of your women because they could easily take you to court and destroy you. I mentioned about this musician that is, I forget his name right now, hopefully it'll come to me, had gone to court and tried to get the alimony reduced. He was paying his wife like $40,000, Kenny G it was. He was paying his wife $40,000 a month. And so I think many men are not cognizant of that. They kind of have a mental block in being able to critique women. And I think transgender women are bringing that to fore, saying you just can't have everything based on your gender and the fact that you want it. So I'm concerned about our court systems. A lot of men are driven to commit suicide as a result of being destroyed financially. They are denied access to their children. So there's a tremendous situation that's going on. And as men are, a lot of men just aren't talking about it, certainly not sufficiently enough. And they're not dealing with the things that are really designed to destroy them. And so I think more men need to look at this and start talking about it and even start preparing and fortifying themselves against what I call female tyranny.
All right. Any comments on that, Darius?
Yeah, it sounds like Mr. Solution is conflating a couple issues. However, I agree with him on the latter concern about, you know, men being at the mercy of their women. But there's also something called, you know, prioritizing your life. And if money and your career, your income is the definition of who you are, and you put yourself in a position where, and I'm not trying to minimize the impact of mental health, but if because your wife is taking all of your money or half of your money and you're committing suicide, then I need to suggest you need to prioritize your life and you need to have a relationship with God, a stronger relationship with God. I have been in a relationship, a marriage before, where I had a very successful business, you know, it was up in the millions of my gross. And, you know, David is familiar with this situation. And I went through a divorce, and the judge actually gave it to my wife for no other reason than because she was the woman, and she had two of our kids and a home, which all of those things I provided, he decided that she should have the majority of it. Well, I can't control that situation. I wasn't helpless. So what I decided was, guess what? I'll let it all go. Since you want it, since the judge awarded it to you, then you run it. I'm not going to let a court or society basically owned me as a slave. And so when we sit here and say, oh, we as men are helpless, well, you're not helpless. You might have to make some changes in your lifestyle. You might have to downsize, but it's all about priorities. And no court can make you pay what you don't have. So you may have to walk away from some things if that's what's required, if it's killing you to that point of where you think you have to commit suicide. Now, I think you're totally off on the transgender thing, and I know that's a whole other argument. You said you think they should be able to compete against one another. To say that is just, to me, it's I don't want to use a negative term. I don't want to, you know, insult you. But it just doesn't make any sense. To say that is to say there's no difference in the strength and the speed and the size of a man, the average man, compared to the strength and the speed and the size of an average woman. It's just flat out false. And
so wait, let me just interrupt you one moment. First of all, I agree with a lot of what you just said, but first of all, I didn't say what you said. I don't care if there's a difference in the strength. What happens is when people are equal, that's what happens with men. All men do not have the same strength or capability levels, but men can accept defeat. We have to accept defeat, all right? So all I'm saying is that there are things that trump so-called natural ability of one individual to another, and that is personhood. So you're setting up a straw man argument. I'm not arguing what you are arguing. I understand there's a strength difference. There's a strength difference between people. And when you have a situation to where people have demanded equality, hey, this is the face of equality. You compete. If you don't have what it takes to win, you don't win. You go someplace else and win where you can. So that's what I'm saying.
Darius, can I jump in and say something?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mr. Solutions, I believe that, like you said, I agree with Darius. This isn't right. And just to say or to make some changes in your physical body makes you a woman versus a man, I'm oversimplifying, but that doesn't give you special privileges to go in and compete with a woman. That's her makeup and her physical prowess and her physical structure is entirely different. So strength related to strength has to be related to the body as well. Give you a quick example. So then if your thought process is right, should 12-year-old children have to compete with men? They're both men, or if you say, well, they're children, okay, let's use 18-year-old or a 15-year-old. Where does it end? There are certain limits and certain developmental points along the way when you're growing up to be a man or to be a fully developed woman that you don't compete because you're not equal. And just to say, well, the man is stronger than the 15-year-old child, well, duh, that doesn't make it right.
Let me finish, and
as a result, there has to be some limits, and otherwise, you're going to have just one huge pool of competition, and that's just not right.
Okay, I just specified the limits. The limits are dealing with adults. Okay, so that is a limit ipso facto. The age of majority meaning that adults are
okay,
competing.
All right. Then when do you say a man or a child or a male person is an adult? Some countries, 10, 15.
Well, let's deal with this country.
20,
this country,
18?
18 is the age of majority.
No, not
okay,
necessarily
so
true. It depends what you're talking about.
That niche should have never been carved out to meet a gender criteria, okay, especially when the gender, if we say women, were arguing to be equal. Equal means that there's an opportunity to lose, And I'm just saying, and I hope you read some of the court decisions that allow this to take place. And they're raising it to another level beyond sex, and they're dealing with personhood. So I'm just saying, and see, what you're not dealing with, I think it's Bruce, right? I want to be correct.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, Bruce, what we're dealing with is you're not looking at what women have demanded and indeed have garnered, and that is equality. Equality means that you have the right to compete and lose.
The statement is accurate, but you're changing the criteria of who is competing. The who is still different in certain cases. And for you to just say, well, I've had my penis cut off, or I've taken hormones, that makes me just like you, even though my body structure is entirely different, I can beat the heck out of you in athletics. That's not the same thing that a lot of ladies and women were saying about equal rights.
It doesn't matter because it encompassed that. And
well,
what I would encourage you to do is to read some of the court decisions that allow transgender women to compete with cisgender or biological women. But I would also ask you, Bruce, are you concerned about what's known as gender or female tyranny?
Well, you'd have to define what you mean by that.
Okay, I'll tell you quite candidly. It just means females get everything they want. They always win, and the power structure supports them because of their gender. Just like in the courts. The courts are stacked against men. It's so facto. It's a woman, she wins. And so you have a false misuse of the power structure giving favor to women, and that shouldn't be the case.
Well,
so that's what I mean by female
tyranny. Quick comment on that. So
sure.
What you're telling me is you're angry and in some ways trying to get even with, if the women are going to be dominant in a lot of ways, this transition with gender women to compete kind of helps even the score. Wrong thinking.
I'm not so much angry. I think you're mischaracterizing.
And I won't
disagree
with you.
I like to see fairness. Hold on. And I also like to see people receive what they demand. If you demand equality, then equality means you compete and there's the opportunity for you to lose. It doesn't guarantee you the right to win.
A statement again about you can compete and you can win or lose based on your competitional activity, skill levels. My daughter is competing in a two-gender Mackinac race from Chicago to Mackinac Island right now. That doesn't necessarily mean that all the people are equal, and the standpoint of not having specific groups that compete in a way that one doesn't start with a huge advantage is just wrong. It's been that's the reason a lot of women fought so hard about getting female sports to the element and the height level that it's at right now. They work
okay,
very
let me say
hard
it this
at
way,
that.
And I appreciate your passion too. Let me just say it this way, and David, I appreciate the time. Look, prior to feminism, women were given a special niche in society, ipso facto, because they were women. They said, no, we want to be treated as equals. So they were the ones that advanced the ball to change or revise society. Now they're saying, since we have equality, we want to change it back, and we want special privileges based on our gender, if you see the contrast.
No, I don't see your reasoning at all.
Well, okay, what I'm saying is prior to that, women were treated especially as because of their gender. Women were, like on the Titanic, when it says women and children first, okay? That's a clear-cut example. Women and children first, and men are sacrificed. And women said, no, we want to be treated as equals. You can see it if you want to see it. So if you're not seeing it, it's an obstruction that you have allowed to exist voluntarily.
Right. I'm going to have to bring it in because we only got 30 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for listening to it. But we'll end up here when we come back again next Sunday at the same time, at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. But it was a great show. Thanks, guys. We will do
good back and forth. God bless.
God bless everybody. Have a good week.